C&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality, and we will start with this. NFL overreaction or reality. The NFC East will be a combined 500 or better this year. Their record last year? The Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, and Giants went 27-40-1. So this division sucks.
So it's the AL West, huh?
Yes, which is beneficial for the Cowboys.
Why do our teams end up in these divisions except for the Stars?
Man, that's a good point. The team that needs it most, that would be most likely to power through.
Yeah.
And they don't get it.
Yeah, because it means more in their division.
No, I think we should start saying it just means less in these other divisions. The NFC East, it just means less. So overreaction or reality? The NFC East will be 500 or better this season.
Overreaction.
Oh, man, I'm afraid you might be right.
Because I heard somebody say the other day that we're giving the Giants too much credit. And Kevin, you know,
I am not.
I've been at the forefront of saying I think they're going to be a better team. And you go, you finally had enough, and you you slammed your book down on the table and said, "Well, how many wins?" And I said, "I think 7." And you were like, "Oh,
okay, that's fine." Hey, man, I thought you were going to say 10-7. Yeah. I was gonna be like, "You're out of
here." I
was like,
"I think they're going to be better."
Yeah,
and
that's fine.
And that comes down to just like we do with the Cowboys. Whenever we say something, and the people are like, "You guys are too positive about it," and we're like, "We said this. I mean, yeah. It's pretty balanced." And so I just don't. I think Washington's going to be worse. And I think that the Giants are going to be just a little bit better than Washington. And therefore, I don't know that I have the numbers lined up for the Cowboys to have 13 wins. Although,
oh,
if you want to check out Kalshi, you definitely should.
Yeah. Hold on. Can we just pause on that? These are the things where other people might think you're crazy or whatever. If you think the Cowboys are going to win 13 games, you damn sure should get your ass over to Kalshi, because you can make a lot of money on that.
I mean, yeah, $100 can make you a lot. $10 can make you a really good handful.
Now, I do not share those views about 13 wins, but if you do, go for it.
And, you know, what's a flyer? You know, that being said, I also think the Eagles are going to – I don't think they're going to put out anything special this year.
Agreed.
I don't think losing A.J. Brown changes it that much. And so, has Lemon practiced for them? Oh, he hasn't even practiced.
I don't think so.
So,
and he's been relatively healthy.
That's a lot on Smith's plate now, you know, and Saquon's plate. And so I just don't think that they're going to be that much better. I don't think that – you said 27-40?
And one.
And one? Who had that tie?
That was the
those Cowboys, Kevin.
Your Dallas Cowboys.
So yeah, that's where I am. I still think I could see a 30 win, a 35 win.
Group. Okay,
32 win.
Okay, and I'll tell you, Alec, I just mocked up kind of what I was thinking ish. I've got it the division at 31-37. So I go to you. Overreaction or reality? The NFC East will be at least 500 this season.
Oh, this is so tough. I'm going to go reality.
Oh.
I don't even know if I believe that, but I'm going to say it because I got to give you an answer.
That is how this segment works.
Because as much as I think the Eagles are going to be worse this year, they're still talented enough to where they can kind of accidentally win 12 games. You know,
okay,
and without even really knowing it, and they're like, "Oh, wow, we're one of the better teams in the NFC. Who would have thunk it?" And then I think the Cowboys could accidentally win a couple of extra games to get to 12 wins as well. What concerns me, I think Washington could ruin this pick for me. I think they could win 4 games and they completely tank the division for us.
So the mock-up I had was 10-7, 9-8, 6-11, 6-11. You can decide for yourself which team is ascribed to which.
You don't have the Cowboys winning 12 games?
I do not. I would love to be wrong about
that. You said the Cowboys at 9-7.
9-8.
That's what I said.
I would be prepared to move to 10-7. We've seen some positive signs, to be sure. But for everybody who thinks, oh, it's Homer, but like, there you go.
And that comes down to the same thing too. Whenever people are like, whenever I say, I can see the Cowboys winning 11 games.
It's a lot different than saying
you predicted the Cowboys would win 15 games.
It's what? A lot. That is what did a I lot say? Different. All right. NFL overreaction or reality. Justin Herbert will win his first playoff game this season.
Reality.
Oh.
A lot of this does come down to Joe Alt coming back being successful, Slater coming back and being successful. Like, what a crazy set of injuries there. And then Alec pointing out that there is an electrical substation near their facility or something yesterday.
Oh,
there are power lines around. I don't know. But, like, that offensive line's a key. But I've also seen Mike McDaniel do something with not a lot. And I have a lot of faith that he's going to have the confidence level high in Justin Herbert to pull the trigger at times that it needs to be, and it's going to be a more live offense. And that defense was already good, and Derwin James is there still. So, yeah, I think so.
And from the 619, oh, San Diego.
Booyaka.
I know that because of Rey Mysterio. Yes, my prediction would change if the Cowboys got Max Crosby. All right, Alec, we go to you. Overreaction reality. Justin Herbert will win his first playoff game this season. Man, these questions are tough reads today.
Yes.
That's good.
Because I root for the person. I think he's the dorkiest quarterback in the NFL outside of Fernando Mendoza, and I love it. Like, I just love likable people.
Right.
But, man, I'm going to go reality. Screw it. I'm going to go reality. And I think it's the Mike McDaniel effect. I really do. I think the idea of having a skilled play caller that comes in and says, I have a quarterback that can throw it the entire length of the field. I have hopefully a healthy second-year running back in Omarion Hampton, who I think is going to be a beast this year. I think that all plays.
I do like him.
I love him a lot. I think it all plays together for one playoff win, and that's it.
From the 806, and Alec, I know you've seen this. Have y'all seen the clips of Herbert prancing around the practice field with Madison Beer and sitting midfield with her? He's screwed. And I also have seen, I believe it's Joe Burrow with Olivia Ponton sitting on the field, and they're doing it, you know, moving his hair out of his eyes so they can see each other in the sun.
I just want to know what he has that I don't, except for like 8 inches of height. And
yeah, it's probably the millions of dollars helps.
That part too.
Ish.
Wow, all right, endorsements.
Why do you just dunk all over him like that?
To be fair, sometimes it sounds like his family has millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So. In my mind, Alec, that R2-D2 costs
$700,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Do I need to tweet that picture out for context?
It is awesome.
I will.
All right. Bonus question then, because you mentioned something about Mike McDaniel. So I'm intrigued by this, and you know how tough it was at the end of his head coaching run. The Chargers make it to the Super Bowl, and Justin Herbert is the MVP of the NFL. Does Mike McDaniel get another head coaching job straight away? Like next year?
That's a great question.
I think he does.
It kind of depends on the coaching cycle. Because
that's fair.
Couldn't you see a world where Christian Parker isn't here next year?
Yes.
I'm not predicting 16 wins, all right? I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Like, he can see the Kalshi number on that.
This dude has been a riser, right?
Yeah.
Like, this dude has just flown through it, and he's, what, 36 years old,
right,
calling defenses right now, and people are already starting to ask that question of, how long is this guy going to be here? And so it does kind of depend on that cycle. A lot of times it's weird. Don't they want coaches with stubble? It's a weird thing the way it goes, but yeah, I could see a thing. I do wonder for him though, does he want another Miami, or is he like, no, I'm not going to Cleveland. You know, I know Todd Monken's there, but how long is that going to last?
Yeah.
I'm not going to a place that could be absolutely destructive to my career again. So I understand why you're asking the question, but I think overreaction.
Alec, Justin Herbert is the MVP, so it's clearly offense, 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 and they go to the Super Bowl. Does he get another head coaching job straight away.
Reality. I think
that's what I think, too.
I think so. And I could see it being a team. I think, to Corey's credit, I think there could be one of those fringe playoff teams that makes a move. And they're like, we need to shake things up. We bring in Mike McDaniel, maybe go get a new quarterback or something. I'm thinking about the Colts. You know, I'm thinking about a team like them where they've got the pieces in place. Figure out the quarterback and let him grow with Mike McDaniel. Then absolutely.
But isn't that what he just went through with Miami?
Right.
He had Tua.
He never wanted Tua.
And he was like, I have to work so hard to make Tua good. Maybe they would have to draft a quarterback, but I think he would look at Daniel Jones and go, I don't know that I want that either.
Yeah.
I think that he would probably want to be at a place where he can get a rookie or have a dude that's already a veteran. They're this close. They just got to turn over, and we already have the veteran quarterback. I don't have to worry about anything else.
Now, this one is going to be interesting. NFL overreaction or reality? Myles Garrett is the best player in the NFL 30 or older.
Okay.
Josh Allen is 30. Patrick Mahomes is 30. Matthew Stafford is 38.
Our heroes are all over 30?
Yeah, it's true. McCaffrey is 30. Derrick Henry, Danielle Hunter. That's probably a cutoff right there. But would you go with that over anybody else? I'm not saying they got to play for years and years and years. This second, right now, Myles Garrett is the best player in the NFL 30 or older.
Yeah, yeah, reality.
Better than Stafford?
Yeah. I mean, they got him because to make Stafford look better. They're like, the only time Stafford won was when he had a great defensive player on his team.
Huh.
When did he win the Super Bowl last?
A couple years ago? Years ago?
Who was on the other side of the ball? Aaron Donald. Now they're trying to get Aaron Donald.
I feel like Matthew Stafford carried his part of the deal.
But yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I'm just saying like that. I think that Matthew Stafford's fantastic. I think that at his position, it is undisputable that Myles Garrett is the best at what he does.
Yeah.
Now, why they won't give him an MVP is stupid because it's a quarterback trophy.
That's a good point.
But I think that he is. And now, what was interesting was that you said right now.
Right now.
Because the only person in that conversation that I even considered was Mahomes. But right now, I don't know that Mahomes is, because A, we saw garbage last year, and then the injury, we're still waiting on him to show what he is. But he's the only person I would consider over Myles Garrett. And that can, you even threw out CMC and a lot of other names there, but he's the only other person.
Alec, overreaction reality. Myles Garrett is the best player in the NFL 30 years of age or older.
Reality, and I don't know how necessarily close it is either. When you talk about a pure athleticism standpoint, but the success rate. I mean, you think about with quarterbacks, it's a lot easier to be harsher on them like Josh Allen, you mentioned, because the game is in his hands 9 times out of 10. Myles Garrett can ruin a game.
Yeah.
Josh Allen can lose a game.
Yeah.
A lot easier. So I think that he's in a better position to win games for his team and ruin games for other people.
So the reason why I brought this up is CBS Sports put out that very list.
Mm-hmm.
And here is, Dak is 12, in case you're curious. But here's their top 10. Lane Johnson, Garrett Bowles, Danielle Hunter, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey. Then you get into the top 5. Trent Williams, Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes, Myles Garrett is 2. And they have Josh Allen, number one.
This is why people hate Josh Allen.
And that's not who I would have gone with.
This is why people hate Josh Allen, dude.
And it's not his fault.
Yeah.
He didn't make that list.
Or did he?
Okay. You know what? Actually, let me just scroll back up. It's by one Tyler Sullivan.
Oh, yeah. That's Josh Allen's ghostwriter name.
I mean, he doesn't look totally dissimilar.
He's
from
white.
Josh Allen. Okay, he is white.
It's like a plain white guy?
Yes, actually, and I can say that.
As a plain white guy?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Sounds about white.
See? Sean knows. He gets it.
Oh, man. I think Josh Allen did put this list out.
Okay, I am not saying that.
He was furious about that stadium that they built up there in Buffalo. He's like, they're not going to be able to see me.
Yeah.
most of the fans won't be able to see me.
Yeah, it's definitely that Josh Allen doesn't get enough attention is the issue in the NFL.
You think that's why he married a Hollywood starlet? Is starlet okay to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a derogatory
starlet.
Term. Shut up. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. How much did the enhanced games lose? And the power of NIL. Sometimes it's awesome. Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Skip Schumacher coming up in about an hour. And then in the noon o'clock hour as well, we'll give away a 4-pack of tickets for Rangers Angels on Saturday. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas, and the mayor of the Medfordplex.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. We got to address this. What's going on, Majors?
Guys, I did wear deodorant today, Kevin.
Yes!
But I also forgot my breakfast.
Oh, come on.
I forgot my breakfast, and I have been up since 4:30 this morning and have worked out and have not eaten anything yet. And so I was supposed to eat at 11 o'clock. My wife said that she would bring my breakfast up to me because she's a kind woman that I love. Kevin...
11:25.
We're at 11:25, and I just checked where she is. She's still in our neighborhood.
Oh. She not care?
I don't know if she cares about me that much.
What's her deal?
I mean, she's nice enough to bring it up here, but on time's kind of important. So, Alec, I appreciate you asking. I just started to feel that rumble in my belly. But I'm also, I guess that could mean I'll have a little more room later tonight when we go to Knife for dinner. We'll talk more about that at 1 o'clock today.
Yes. More room for it. No, that's going to sound crazy. Never mind. We got the question of the day, plus...
It just said steak instead of meat.
That's a great point. You know, I saw this post, Corey, thank you for giving me the perfect segue, on Instagram. It was like one of those just blank meme templates, and it said, sometimes I start a sentence and just hope it ends well. And I was like, that feels like my entire career.
Yeah, I get it.
That's just me in daily life and professional life. But we do have the question of the day, 877-881-1053. Plus, NIL can be awesome for reasons like this. And the enhanced games, it sucked. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But today is National Photography Day. National Photography Day. And for those of you that didn't know, I graduated from the University of Texas at Arlington, UTA, here in the Metroplex. Yeah, back in 2023, I was a broadcast major, obviously, but my minor was photography. And it's something that still intrigues me to this day. I'll take pictures on my phone because iPhone cameras and phone cameras in general are just incredible now. And I'll take, you know, super cinematic pictures and stuff when I'm out and about. And I'm like, this would be fun to do as a side hustle. So what is a side hustle you wouldn't mind picking up? 877-881-1053. Ooh. I would love photography. And it's something that I keep telling myself I'm going to set some money aside to get a real camera and actually start taking appointments and whatnot. I mean, our buddy Aiden, who does all the video stuff here, does it himself. So I have a bunch of people in my life that can help me out with this. I'm like, it would be fun. It would be a great way to, one, just scratch the itch, but two, make some extra cash.
Kevin, I think I gave up on photography as a side hustle when I saw how much we paid our photographers at the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's not enough.
Well, then you don't want to be a photographer at a newspaper.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But you can make a lot of money outside of that, I bet. We didn't pay anybody anything at the newspaper.
Dude. We just hoped that they didn't ask for their checks most of the time.
Oh.
I want to be a side hustle artist. And here's how. I want to paint a painting, and people say, I will give you $35,000 for that painting.
Oh.
And me say, I'll think about it.
Whoa.
You know, I want that. And it to not be the, like, I feel like sometimes artists are like, let's see if these idiots will buy it, you know? And then sometimes there's really phenomenal art out there that you're like, that is amazing. That touched me in a way I did not expect, right? You saw it. It connected with me. I have to have it. And that's essentially what an artist is hoping. And they have a great story to go on with their art. That's always the case. And I have a couple friends in the art world that I'm like amazed at. I'm like, wow, that you made that much of a commission off of that. It's amazing. So I would love to be able to be a painter that can just make something happen on a canvas and people want to pay $3,500 for.
I would love to be an S-talking heel manager for some local wrestling promotions as my side hustle. And, you know, I don't know if I would go with...
That fits you perfectly, too.
Yeah,
dude.
Yes. I don't know if I would go with just crowd work or ripping on local sports teams or something totally different. But I think we could really get somewhere with that, and I think that would be super-duper fun.
That would be awesome. Hey, if we talk to our friend Athena with AEW and ROH soon, maybe we should talk to her about a cameo at Metroplex Wrestling.
Yes. I would do that.
That would be awesome.
The 817, I once painted this erotic photo of a married woman we met on a ship, and I froze to death.
That is from the movie Titanic!
Oh, no, it sounded kind of convincing.
My wife didn't know the main character or the second main character was that old lady on the boat. Very concerning. She goes, I've seen the movie. And I was like, I don't know if you have.
Oh, this is still blowing my mind. That was a convincing text, though. I can't lie. I cannot lie. Let's see. From the 945, Zach in Frisco says, fixing people's TVs and laptops. And I agree with that because a lot of the time, it's a lot simpler of a fix than people realize.
Yeah.
Like, I get those on my TikTok feed where it's like those people that run a small business where they'll fix iPhone batteries or something. And it takes them maybe 30 minutes to pop the battery out, reseal the back, give it back to the customer. That's a couple $100 that they just made. And the parts cost them, what, maybe 15, 20 bucks? So there's a good margin there. And it's kind of satisfying to watch those videos, too. Because now you can turn your side hustle into social media content, you know, and make even more money off of it.
Yeah. Somebody said from the 469, side hustle, be a food critic. Eat amazing food all around DFW or Dalworthington, if you will.
That's right.
And since it's side hustle business, I can write off all my meals. I have a friend, you know, her side hustle is she's a travel blogger. And so people, like, hotels will say, come stay at our place.
Right.
It's on us. Bring your family. And just write about the experience. And, like, that's, and they take care of everything for them. That's insane. I would love that.
Okay. And I like that kind of insight because I was seriously going to ask how much food criticism is still, like, a viable job. I'm sure it is.
Huge.
But I don't know how many people just, like, look at the Yelp stars or whatever. I really wasn't sure. So yeah, that's interesting.
Are you like considering, is there still a guy out there like in Ratatouille who's the most powerful food critic in the world? And if he shows up or she, then you're like, everything's ruined instead of just like, oh, the Michelin star, obviously they're good.
Yeah. And I don't even know I don't usually travel at the Michelin star restaurants. but yeah, no, I get your point.
From the 512 side hustle, website selling full and decant colognes and perfumes. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because people will do that. If you want a luxury cologne that runs you $400 MSRP, get a half-used bottle of it that's a little dinged up for $150. Why not?
I mean, look, I want to say that sounds weird to me, but I'm thinking, like, I'm sure there's all kinds of things for hobbies I'm more interested in that I'm like, oh, yeah, no problem.
From the 214, be a street fighter. Is that legal?
Does that
matter?
Pay?
I think it pays.
Both of those are good questions.
But by who?
The streets.
The people, the people who are running things, Kevin.
Mm.
Like, this is one of those where you're a street fighter and you're kind of beholden to that guy that that has the money that he's going to pay you later, you know, and maybe he also knows where your daughter or girlfriend is, and he's just like, look, all I need is for you to finish these six fights, and you're going to have to take the fall in each one of them. Like, that would be,
You got
to take a dive. Do you want to see your daughter or not? You know, like, that's the question that you have to answer. And usually it's yes. Like, usually you want to see your daughter. You know?
Because sometimes I think about that just a little bit when they're like, I have too much pride. I'm not taking a dive in this fight. I was like, this fight is not really that relevant to your career. And if you just lose, you get your daughter back. I know we don't want to reward the bad guys, but I don't want my daughter to get killed in that scenario either.
But here's what's going to happen, Kevin. On the sixth fight, he's going to tell the other fighter to go ahead and finish you. And that way he doesn't have to pay you. And then he can also sell your daughter off. So that's how it works. So you have to live in this fight,
okay, I will,
and make it out so that you can go hunt him down and then find your daughter also.
So really what I'm learning is your side hustle you would prefer is a revenge-based plot.
Yeah, Hitman kind of, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I have a specific set of skills.
That's right.
Let's see. From the 817, side hustle I've always wanted is to make quality wooden baseball bats. That would be kind of fun.
Dude, it would be fun.
That is fun. My dad, he has the ability to make those in his shop.
Well,
he does a lot of that stuff. He was a former carpenter who continues to do it as a hobby now.
It's like Jesus.
Well, I mean, different than Jesus, but yeah, like I can see
he's
how
a
you're
little bit
the similar. Yeah, I think he does different stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's very satisfying to watch something go from one thing into another like that.
Right.
You know, you whittle a piece of wood down to something else, and it's just satisfying.
From the 817 Feet Finder, or start a cooking channel called...
What was that first one?
Feet Finder.
What does that mean?
What do you think it means?
Where you go find pictures, people that post their feet,
is
and you
that...
pay for them.
Just look it up real quick.
Oh,
yeah, look
you
it up.
Pay for them,
look
not you get... What?
Look on the
up,
company
man.
Computer.
Yeah, look it up on the company computer.
And they had an alternative just for you, Kevin. Start a cooking channel called Only Pans.
Only Pans. I think there's a girl out there who already has that.
What?
Yeah, she's fantastic. I wish I could remember her name right now, but
Feet Finder means you sell your own feet pictures, right?
That's right.
Susie Vidal. Well, Susie, she's fantastic.
I just didn't understand how, like, you went to look for people's feet on the internet and you got paid for that, but now I understand. It's
it's your feet.
Okay.
It's like it's your dog.
I get that reference. Most beginners actually make $0 to $200 in their first month, while consistent intermediate creators generally earn between $3 and $900 a month.
Keep giving us that content and we'll pay you more is basically what that
means. Man, what?
Top-tier Feet Finder creators make more than $5,000 monthly.
How do you get to top tier? Just keep posting pictures?
What if you got ugly feet? Like you got a deformed toe or something?
I think that could
be... And you smash gross things.
Yeah, that could be a niche, you know?
Oh, like, people might be into that, yeah.
Some people are like, you know what? I like weird feet.
Yeah, the little toe is pointing the wrong way. I'm kind of into that.
We just won
Masterpiece of the Week together. That's a combo action
that you just
can't get anywhere else.
I'm in control of
Somebody
this segment.
Also made a suggestion when you compared yourself to Justin Herbert that you said something that you should mark.
I'll have to run the tape because I don't even remember what I said.
I said earlier,
I start a sentence and I hope it ends well. It often doesn't. Real quick on this one, not going to spend too much time on it because nobody in America cared about it like they said they did. The Enhanced Games, the Olympic-style event where people were allowed to use performance-enhancing drugs. It was kind of fun in theory. They ended up losing $60 million doing
it. Oh, $60 million?
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, none of the enhanced players actually like did anything special. It
exactly.
was all the other athletes.
Yeah, so in theory, they saved a ton of money by no world records being broken because there was a big bonus for that. But they still somehow lost $60 million, which is objectively incredible in the worst way. And then to the world of NIL. The NIL store on Twitter tracks the most popular college football jerseys or college sports jerseys each week just to see the ebbs and flows of what's going on across all sports, which is pretty cool. So you'll go and you'll look and you'll see a lot of football players, obviously, tons of baseball players and whatnot. But last week there was a new name inside of the top 10, Alicia Beers. Yes, BERS, just like a beer, right?
Because they wanted that on the back of the jersey?
Exactly, and she wears the jersey number 6. She's a volleyball player, and people are storming these websites to buy the Six Beers jersey because it says that just in that fashion, Six Beers. So a bunch of men are going and buying this jersey to wear it out to the bar.
That's funny.
Just because it says Six Beers, but because of the world of NIL now, she's actually pocketing a percentage of this money.
Hey.
So she's benefiting from having an awesome, awesome last name.
That is awesome.
And that's enough beers, too.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're going to do a special edition of Gridiron Gravy that focuses in on the Cowboys roster.
Are you serious?
Who do you think really needs to be on this team? I'm talking about a fringy candidate. Don't tell me George Pickens.
Dak.
We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Blair Thomas is the running back. They fake to him, and Aikman throws the end zone. Mervin. Touchdown, Dallas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I can already see we're getting in a time crunch, so we might have to pick up the roster question in a little bit because we got a lot to go through as we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip and rip it.
Now, let's start with this. This is something I wanted to talk about yesterday, but we just didn't get to it. The best Cowboys team to never make the Super Bowl, all right? Not win, but not even make the Super Bowl. Now, it makes a lot of sense for it to be the 94 Cowboys because that's the team that immediately comes to mind for me. ESPN put out a list based on DVOA. That's defense adjusted value over average. It takes in a team's efficiency by comparing success on every single play to a league average based on support, situation, and opponent, all of that stuff. All right, so the 1994 Dallas Cowboys all time on this list are 15th. So they're the 15th best team to never make it to the Super Bowl. Interestingly enough, ahead of them, just a little bit ahead of them at 13, is the 1995 San Francisco 49ers, who, of course, would fall to the Packers, who then lost to the Cowboys on their run to the Super Bowl. But there is one team in Cowboys history that was viewed as better strictly based on DVOA, and it was not the one that I would have guessed.
So you're thinking it was the 2014 team?
No.
Okay.
But that is a good one. That was a really good one.
Is it the one where Patrick Creighton dropped? Is it a current or a more modern team?
Okay. Nope.
So was it a Danny White team?
Nope.
Oh my gosh. All right, Kevin, I'm struggling here.
It was the 1968 Dallas Cowboys team. They lost to the Browns in the divisional round. And here's why.
To the Browns?
Yeah, that is a good question.
I guess it was 68, you know?
Here is why I was surprised by I was surprised by that. The 1968 Dallas Cowboys, I would have thought it would have been one of the 2 years prior. Like, I would have thought it was leading into one of the first two matchups against the Packers that fed into Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II. But that Dallas Cowboys team went 12-2, and then they lost to the Browns, who then in turn got just freaking destroyed by that Baltimore Colts team. And if you remember, that Baltimore Colts team lost Super Bowl III to the Jets in the game that really made the Super Bowl more viable. I know that sounds like an insane thing to say right now, but remember, the first AFC-NFC championship game, which is what it was called, was such a non-entity that even though we had three channels, two of them carried it. Because they're like, eh, either way.
Yeah, there was no ratings battle like that.
We didn't have a full copy of it. It had to be pieced together to create it. So it was that third team. So not the 66 or the 67 Cowboys. But ESPN has the 1968 Cowboys listed as the fifth best team that never made the Super Bowl.
Don Meredith was that good of a quarterback?
He really was.
Do we not give him enough credit in the hierarchy?
Yes, definitely. Because, and you think about how much different it could have been. Like, we talked the other day, we were talking with Mickey about this, and I am not kidding about this. I think about this a lot, actually. Is I know Vince Lombardi won pre-Super Bowl NFL championships, but I have always wondered if the Cowboys would have won those first two Super Bowls, and then you lost Super Bowl V, you won Super Bowl VI, and so, like, you're always right there if it would have possibly been called the Landry Trophy. And Don Meredith was the primary starting quarterback for both that 66 and that 67 team that would have fed into Super Bowl I and Super Bowl II, and I can almost guarantee you the Cowboys would have won those games. They went down to the wire both times with the Packers, and the Packers just straight up throttled the teams in Super Bowl I and II.
Yeah, no, I think we've always felt that that would be the case, and Landry deserves that, quite honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a highway, but, you know.
I mean,
and
no.
A statue.
That's true. And then he would have had four Super Bowl titles. Who knows what? I mean, you know how we talked about, like, how epic the three-peat was. Well, think about it. If somehow the Cowboys would have won one and two and this team was that good, because you've gotten a three-peat right out of the gate, or, like, would Landry have at least have added those two Super Bowls and then people wouldn't have been able to do any all-time coaching top five without him? And they'd be like, yeah, you know, Andy Reid's cool and stuff, but he's not Tom Landry. And unfortunately, I feel that's kind of falling to the wayside.
Oh, yeah, for sure it is.
It sucks.
Because winning those championships is a distinct matter.
Absolutely. Now, the rest of the top four is epically fascinating, and you're going to notice it is a very poor reflection on one particular individual.
All four of Danny White's teams.
No, there are no more Cowboys teams on the list.
Oh, okay.
The 2010 Patriots are number three on the list, and I'm skipping four for a particular reason. Number two on the list is the 1976 Steelers. But number one and number four are the respectively 2023 Ravens and the 2024 Ravens. They're number one and number four on this list, which, look, I love Lamar Jackson. It just feels like, in a way, that is a poor reflection on him, especially since in 2024 they lost in the divisional round, and then in 2023 that was the game where they only scored 10 points against the Chiefs in the conference championship.
Mark Andrews dropped that pass.
True.
That was, I mean, that was a great pass, too.
True.
That's not on Lamar.
I agree,
but history,
but you know how it works.
This is the same conversation as, I mean, very similar to 30 years from now, Jerry Jones. They were asking this the other day on air. Sean and Bobby were. Will Jerry Jones be known in history for the 30 years of incompetence?
Right.
Or the three Super Bowls?
Right.
And down the road, people will look at the Super Bowls and go, those are three accolades that he deserves the credit for.
Yeah.
Not whatever, any of the other stuff.
The nuance gets lost along the way.
Absolutely it does.
I feel like is
no,
your
it's
point.
The, it's
I don't
want to. Stats.
Yeah.
It's the stats that tell the story at the end of the day there. And even though Lamar Jackson was phenomenal, man, that was a really good team too. That's a good conversation point there, Kevin. I personally right now don't think it reflects negatively on him, but I understand how history will see it that way.
For the 3-2-1, this is an interesting question. I actually, in a weird way, think I know the answer. Why is 1968 not modern in football, but 1910 is modern in baseball? I think it all pivots off of 1970, the merger. Like, that seems to be how all of this gets distinguished. So, 1970. And I'll tell you something right now, since we were talking about the 68 Super Bowl, that merger happens because the Jets won the Super Bowl. If the Colts would have steamrolled them, which is what pretty much everybody thought was going to happen, why the hell would the NFL merge with the AFL? They're like, your teams suck. We kick your ass every single year. You are a B-league football. So them winning that, and then the Chiefs the next year, like, that's what turned the tide. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, come on. Do you want to be in my league?
Yeah, always having more teams, and it's more property.
Yes.
I mean,
I don't know if they viewed it that way at the time, but
commercial real estate's where it's at, Kevin.
That as you've always said. A couple of injury updates for you. Mike Evans left the joint practice yesterday with some soft tissue tightness, which you got to worry about that. Jaden Higgins.
I mean, we discussed that at length. Absolutely. That's the only thing that could keep him from having his year.
Jaden Higgins with a torn ACL is officially out for the 2026 season. And Tyler Biadasz is going to see more doctors in an effort to get more clarity because he's out indefinitely with ACL damage. And apparently there are more injuries to his knee as well. So I don't believe it's an ACL tear, but it's damaged and there might be other issues in his knee. So don't be surprised if you hear he'll end up being out for the year, but he is going to check with other doctors before any decision is made on that. And yeah. One more thing. I just want to throw this out there. I thought it was funny. Is Jared Verse already letting us know how he's going to cope with being on the Browns?
Did he put on some fat?
No. He said, quote, California doesn't really rain that much. I was outside yesterday just enjoying the rain, sitting on my back porch, just taking little deep breaths, seeing deer running around and everything like that. It was cool. I'm not saying all of that is not true. But is that going to be his coping mechanism for being with the Browns?
He just sits there like Joey and watches the rain hit on his windowsill.
Yeah, except it's real.
Gosh. It sounds so sad.
Exactly. So I think we have discovered that for Jared Verse.
It's Cleveland, you know?
We're the KNC masterpiece.
That's
yes.
The answered all questions.
Yes. Right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider. I don't know why I keep doing that. Mickey Spagnola right here on the Fan.
Howdy.